This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As President Trump rails against Democratic-controlled cities where violence has been soaring, 15 people were shot last night and are now hospitalized after a mass shooting outside a funeral home on Chicago's South Side.
At that time, the attendees of the funeral exchanged gunfire with the black vehicle. Black vehicle then turned northbound down Carpenter. Upon going northbound down Carpenter, it continued to fire at the attendees of the funeral.
A Chicago police spokesman there, Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot, says the Trump administration won't be deploying unidentified federal officers to the streets of her city like they've done in Portland, Oregon. The mayor says the city does welcome partnership, not dictatorship. She says instead agents will be working with existing agencies that regularly work to fight violent crime. And this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
From the Atlantic to the Pacific, it is hurricane season, and there's likely to be a first hurricane of the year shortly, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Tropical Storm Douglas has formed in the East Pacific and is forecast to become the first hurricane in the Atlantic or East Pacific of the year. It's moving slowly, with sustained winds of up to 65 miles per hour. Earlier this month, Tropical Storm Christina nearly became the first hurricane, but it fell short of Category 1 hurricane strength.
Meanwhile, a powerful earthquake has struck Alaska's Aleutian Peninsula. It was a magnitude 7.8 quake, and it did prompt the tsunami warning for southern Alaska, though no tsunamis at last check had developed. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake struck shortly after 11 p.m. Pacific time and was felt as far away as Anchorage. There have been no reports of any significant damage or injuries. And this is USA Radio News.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
There's something new in this year's defense spending bill as passed by the U.S. House. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The House has approved its annual defense policy bill, including a provision to remove Confederate names from military bases. The National Defense Authorization Act was approved, setting up negotiations for the House and Senate on a final version of the bill that will be sent to President Trump. As a part of the bill, Congress would allocate $740.5 billion to 3% pay raise for troops, establish a $3.6 billion fund for measures against China, and provide $1 billion to the Pentagon to assist with pandemic preparedness. It also calls for the production of a report on the threat of the Taliban and the impacts of withdrawing troops from Afghanistan. The version of the bill passed by the House also includes language requiring the Pentagon to rename bases and other military properties named after Confederate military officers within a year. The president tweeted last week that he would veto the bill if it included provisions to rename the bases. The White House said the president's advisors would recommend that he veto the bill, citing serious concerns about various provisions included in the bill.
And severe thunderstorms are threatening over 50 million Americans across the North. Northeast today. Tornadoes are also in the forecast from West Virginia to Massachusetts. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I know you probably look at it and you go, how are we going to do that? It seems so impossible. But look at this too shall pass. And we have Professor and Dr. Lauren Wright with us. And so she knows all. She's got the prescription down. She knows how to calm us, you know, from the edge of the roof. And, you know, we'll get back on track. And just like that, after a couple of segments, all will be well with the planets, I'm telling you. She's the associate research scholar and lecturer in politics and public affairs at Princeton University. Lauren, no pressure, huh?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here. Before we talk about Biden, let's consider, you know, what is still happening on the streets of America. What say you? I mean, is this just something that we're going to have to deal with a little bit longer, or is this here to stay? I mean, is there, you've got Black Lives Matter saying they just want to burn everything down. Well, you know, I don't think most of America wants to burn everything down. We understand that we're off track and we need to, you know, get back on track. But what does that look like short of burning everything down?
Well, I know a lot of activists, and I don't think everyone is quite on that extreme of defunding everything and justifying violence and riots. I know a lot of people in the middle, including people who are activists for Black Lives Matter. And I think the truth is, and this is the frustrating answer with so many questions that are complicated in our country, is we see rising crime rates. Everyone is worried about that. But no one can really put their finger on an answer. We have a few different hypotheses out there. One is this possible Ferguson effect where police are more hesitant to do their jobs or there's fewer police on the street. But we really don't know that it's that for sure because we have this isolated incident in many different cities and all have different rules and guidelines. And so I think it's important before anyone jumps to conclusions to just acknowledge that these are really difficult issues and nobody has the exact answer.
Well, I've always said in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and but we need to be careful just how much that opinion rules. I mean, this is what we love about the First Amendment right of free speech, so that we can debate this and figure out what's going on. I did gain a lot from a police officer, and he's the head of a consulting firm in New York. And the way he played it out was that he said, look, it's always been there. The guns have always been there. But with the police, they kind of kept the guns hidden away. I mean, they were in drawers or they were, you know, in a bit of a lockdown because they didn't want to get caught with guns. You take the police off the streets, and suddenly you've got guns, hanging from the sides of people's hips anymore, so they're more readily accessible. I mean, there's a situation in New York where, a little altercation, a guy pulls out a gun, shoots the guy in the leg. I mean, it's like, wait a minute, we're coming back to the Wild West here.
Yeah, and a lot of people are rightfully really worried about that. And so the tension that we're facing is, how do we prevent situations like George Floyd, where there's an abuse of power and police officers behaving terribly and engaging in illegal behavior, but we also have police officers comfortable enough to go out and do their job and protect communities from violence? And I don't think it has to be one way or another, and I don't think anyone looks at rising crime rates and thinks we're headed in the right direction. I think that's a pretty extreme opinion.
And to that point, do you think that holding on to the George Floyd, as horrific as it was, and as everybody saw this, and if anything united the country, I said, racially, it was what happened to George Floyd, because you had people, from every shade and color coming against, something, just so unjust as what happened to George Floyd. But do you think that that's the order of the day, or are we being extreme in that case and thinking that maybe both cases might be true, is that it's not as prevalent or that it's just as prevalent? What do you say?
Well, I think we need laws in this country, and we have law enforcement officers for a reason, and that's why I'm not quite on this side of abolish the police. I think that brings a lot of dangerous consequences, as we've seen. But even if there are just, we don't have that much data on police shootings, but what happened to George Floyd, one incident is too much, and we know of many incidents like this. And so no matter how rare they are compared to the full range of police interactions with citizens, it's abhorrent, and it really, I think it's important that people see that this happens in black communities, and a lot of black activists for a long time have been saying, this is a part of our life. We are worried that this will happen to us and our kids, and everyone needs to wake up and pay attention. And so I think the rarity of it is not as relevant as just the extreme upsetting nature of that and how everyone feels sick when they watch it.
And I think that this is handled appropriately, Lauren, that we will come to a resolution. But, it's like you say, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, it gets segmented, because you have a force of Black Lives Matter that says, look, we want to burn it down. And then you have the other central or centrist activists who are participating in Black Lives Matter. That's not their heart. It probably leans a little bit more toward Martin Luther King Jr. than it does these activists in Black Lives Matter, and that are run by outside groups, and even corporate America involved in, supporting their efforts. And you wonder, you go, whoa, what is going on here? I mean, is there something beneath this that is driving this, the destruction of the American idea? And there seems to be some seeds, or at least some evidence, that this is taking place, that it's not all, it's not all good and well and just. And I'm on the good and well and just side. I'm saying, for all the energy that's expended, the life of George Floyd, others, people of color who have been unfairly treated by the police, that's got to stop. I mean, this is the line in the sand. If this is what it's taken, the George Floyd incident, for all of us to get behind this and say, no, this isn't going to happen. And so we need to get this thing squared away, whether it's, a direct conversation with law enforcement, the unions and that, to, really, they need to police themselves, and there needs to be proper oversight to where this is not allowed to happen, that you can't just, even like Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott says, look, I've been pulled over, accused of driving while black. I mean, are you kidding me? In the 21st century, we're still having to deal with that kind of junk? I mean, I'm way over that stuff. And so, but I'm on the side that says, look, let's find a solution. Let's move toward that. And let's move very quickly and judiciously to get rid of the bad apples.
Yep, and it's happening slowly, and that's the good news, is that when reformers work with police at the local level, there are a lot of things they can do. So it's not,
exactly.
You know, it's not all doom and gloom, but you're right, the problem is serious, and we have to look at it as a systemic issue.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Survival food alert and a quick heads up. In an emergency situation, there may be a time you need to have an easy-to-transport, easy-to-conceal, almost perfect food to survive. You'd want a food that is so nutritionally dense that a couple of tablespoons per day is all you need to live on. And by that, I mean truly living well, staying smart, even strong for extended periods of time. So if you're looking for a standalone, super-dense superfood, or you'd just like to protein up your own food supplies, check this out. This superfood has 58 times the bioavailable iron of spinach, chock full of B vitamins, twice the chlorophyll of wheatgrass, 25 times the antioxidant power of carrots, and the phenolic phytonutrient compounds? Well, 31 times more than blueberries, a whopping 700 times more than apples. Go to BlueGreenBooster.com, BlueGreenBooster.com. Get maximum nutrition with minimum weight and bulk. BlueGreenBooster.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
Keeping the
spirit of Don't Tread on Me Alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're fresh and independent, as you should be, fresh and independent, and we encourage you to do that in the midst of, as Professor Lauren Wright said, these issues today are very complex. But just because they're complex doesn't mean they're impossible. And, you know, Lauren, what do you suggest in processing this, you know, because we have to be careful, as I mentioned earlier, in the absence of fact opinion rules, and we got to make sure that in the mix of everything that we have more on truth and fact than we do opinion if we're going to come up with a solution, do you think?
Yep, that's true, and I think one problem is that there is a lot of good scientific research out there, but it's really hard for people to discern between the good and the bad research, understandably so. I don't think scientists are doing a good enough job of communicating, and I don't think the scientific process, you know, on research, on police reform, for example, has benefited the public as much as it can. And so, you know, I think there are some answers out there that are really good, but I think we in the scientific community need to do a better job communicating them so that we do have some facts to look at and it's not just people's opinions.
Well, we have to venture out of our silos. We can't be so fixed in what it is that we know or we think we know. We've got to be able to have that debate and conversation, be able to bring that forth. Because what I have found, Lauren, is that when you are met up with the truth, you kind of have that oh yeah moment. You know, it just speaks to the very depth of your spirit that you realize, hey, there's, you know, this is effectual. This is solid. It makes sense. And also, we know when we're being fed the manure, that it smells and it stinks and it's rejectable and, we should do so orderly. And, you know, but meanwhile, we need to welcome the conversation so that we can work this out. We're smart people. I mean, look what this country has been based on and what we've been able to affect in 244, 45 years. I mean, this is, it's, short of miraculous, I think, when you look back on it. And I just have a lot of faith in, you know, like you say, in the scientific world. I want to encourage them and people who know better, people who have done the studies, to be able to make sure that they have a platform and a way to express this so that we can, you know, talk this out and really get to the bottom of this and do some things that we should be doing. I mean, you know, when you hear certain things like, you know, which drives me nuts, well, we can't do that because of the union. You know, come on. You know, we've got to come to a solution, and the unions can be part of it, but like anything, no one thing can drive it. I kind of call it the Marilyn Monroe effect. I don't know if you were familiar. Well, you're too young because you probably don't know about this, but maybe.
I know who she is.
Okay, all right, but you're still young. But anyway, and that doesn't invalidate your perspective here, but I'm only just saying is that what she would do when she would get dressed, she would turn away from the mirror and whatever, you know, jewelry or whatever she had on, and she would turn away from the mirror and then turn to the mirror, and whatever came out, whatever stuck out, she would remove. And I thought that was interesting. And, you know, and I think that, you know, our approach to life, there's some value. And I mean, there's some lesson there. I'm not sure how to express it. If I'm doing this right, that's why I need you. Because you can turn this around in such a way and apply it to whether it's the body politics or just human relationships that, you know, we need to, you know, consider those things. If those things that stick out and are annoying, then maybe we just set them aside for a moment and let's think about, you know, the holistic aspect of the solution. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, you know, there is some good news here, which is that research has actually been showing people engage with differing opinions more often than we think. For example, people have really mixed online news diets. They're not necessarily just going to one source. They tend to go to sources that confirm their existing point of view, but people do see different, you know, different media outlets, different topics, and so there is some good news there. And then the other thing I would just say, you know, again, to emphasize why it's important for scientists to be responsible, is it's tough. I mean, I have a lot of colleagues, you know, everyone wants to speak out when they see something wrong, and you need to speak out. you know, if that might be your prerogative as a human being. Mm-hmm. But we have to be careful not to be partisan, because then people mistrust science, and that's exactly. not good. And so it is a responsibility to try as much as possible to remove biases that you have. You know, scientists are voters too, and completely separate those from your research, because that's our responsibility.
And a good point there, because of research and the scientific method in that, you come with the facts.
Right.
And the facts should lead, not your opinion, not your partisanship, because if the facts are there, then it will back up your opinion, it will back up your, you know, your point of view, and that's okay. But let's make sure the facts are very well involved. The other thing is that I'm curious, you know, because here you are, you're dealing with these kids right now, and I think that we've gone through and developed a culture where people are so easily offended. And we got to get away from that. We got to understand that, you know, people need to have the platform. They need to express themselves, and we will be all the wiser. And I find often, Lauren, that the people that advance and enlarge me and my perspective are the ones I find most irritating.
That's interesting. It's something I do talk to my students a lot about, especially, you know, the master students who come through the policy school and they're going to work in American government. You know, we try to emphasize as much as possible, you will be working with maybe 50% of your coworkers won't agree with your point of view. And so even though we tend to have more democratic students, more liberal students on average, and those are maybe the type of people that like to go into government more often, it is necessary to try to engage in the exercise of, you're going to have to deal with a lot of people who don't agree with you. And so, you know, it's not just me. Luckily at Princeton, we have a lot of faculty that think that's really important. And so
that's good.
I'm lucky to be part of that group.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, just short of 3 minutes. And I want to talk about your article that you wrote, how sexism is a part of this voting cycle, especially with Joe Biden. Break that down, if you would.
Yeah, I'm having, so this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, because people are really divided over how Joe Biden should proceed. Should he stay in the basement and prevent himself from having these gaffes? Should he go on the offense against Trump and attack him? And what most presidential candidates have in a VP pick is someone who can balance out those attributes. So in Biden's case, he needs, you know, someone who's a better political attack dog than he is, maybe more energetic, and someone who can do the job of governing. But we know that there's sexism in the electorate, both overt and implicit. And it was a huge topic of conversation in the 2020 primary when six women ran and no one came out victorious. And so I think the Biden campaign needs to be pessimistic about this in a healthy way, and just what is the strategy to combat the bias that a lot of people have. And, you know, I think there's benefits to picking a woman VP. Of course there are. I think it is the right thing to do. But any campaign needs to account for the potential effects of that, and some of them will be negative, and that's unfortunate, but it's a real thing, and the conversation needs to be had.
Exactly. Well, it is ironic when you consider all that the Democrats had to offer, and one of the things that was the recurring mantra was, we don't want some old white guy.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call.
That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As President Trump rails against Democratic-controlled cities where violence has been soaring, 15 people were shot last night and are now hospitalized after a mass shooting outside a funeral home on Chicago's South Side.
At that time, the attendees of the funeral exchanged gunfire with the black vehicle. Black vehicle then turned northbound down Carpenter. Upon going northbound down Carpenter, it continued to fire at the attendees of the funeral.
A Chicago police spokesman there, Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot, says the Trump administration won't be deploying unidentified federal officers to the streets of her city like they've done in Portland, Oregon. The mayor says the city does welcome partnership, not dictatorship. She says instead agents will be working with existing agencies that regularly work to fight violent crime. And this is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. And joining us now, John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump, who served the United States Ambassador to the United Nations from 2005 to 2006, spent many years of his career in public service, held high-level positions in the administrations of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, as well as George Bush. The room where it happened. A White House memoir from John Bolton, former National Security Advisor of the United States. Ambassador, I think the only thing that's missing from the cover is maybe, you know, an image of your mustache, because that seemed to be, you know, part of the issue. I mean, it's just me. I don't know. I thought a mustache is missing from the cover.
Well, I'm not a design artist, but I'll pass that back to him for the next edition.
Well, for what it's worth. Well, when Donald Trump got elected president, you saw this for yourself as an opportunity. I mean, you're a conservative, you're Republican, you got a Republican administration, and you're assessing your skill set with the needs of this incoming president and outsider. And you thought, I can help here. I can be of service again, right?
That was exactly the approach I took. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so you went through a lot of screening with Donald Trump. I mean, he liked you, even though, you know, we mentioned the mustache, a little sidebar on that, and they can read about that in the book. But he liked you. He saw you as a smart guy, and you just could not get out of his mind. I mean, he couldn't. He wanted you to be in a position of as a deputy. You said, no, that's not for me. As you put it, you said you didn't want a membership card. You wanted the keys. You wanted to be able to drive.
Well, I felt that in the conversations I had with Donald Trump, and I lay them out in the book during the transition, really before the election, during the transition, during his first year in office, he said time and time again, you know, he had watched me on Fox News for almost 10 years before the election, and I've been accused of a lot of things over the years. I've never been accused of being shy about expressing my views, and I did, and he watched them. So, you know, we talked about, for example, the disagreement we had over Iraq, although also the agreement we had that Obama had made a terrible decision in withdrawing all American forces in 2011, so that no advisor and his president ever agree on 100% of the things. And I fully understood that I was the advisor, the national security advisor, not the national security decision maker. But I went in feeling that there was the president had to know what I believed in, having watched me for 10 years on Fox, and I appreciate him doing that, right. So that I believed I really could make a contribution.
What did you understand going into this about Donald Trump's management style?
Well, I didn't know that much, frankly. I hadn't never worked for him. I didn't work for him during the campaign, or I hadn't been in business with him. I had heard a lot of stories, but I had heard other stories from people who had been in business deals with him. Some talked about the chaos. Others said, you know, he knew his numbers, he knew the papers, he knew the terms under discussion. So I didn't believe that things were as bad as many of his critics said, that he was disorganized, he didn't focus, he had a short attention span, and I believed it would be possible to work on it. And I recount the sort of learning that, in fact, all of those sorts of things were characteristic. There was not a consistency and a determination to carry through on policies over a sustained period, which certainly in the national security field, I think, is essential to protecting American national interest.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the reason I reference his personality style and his management style is that a quick read of Myers-Briggs would help you understand that he's an ENTJ. He's a classic ENTJ. And if you read the descriptors on that characterization, it really lays out, you know, that he's the classic quote-unquote commander, as some would identify it. Some would say he's the classic, CEO type, and all the attributes that go along with it. That might have saved you some, you know, probably some challenges in dealing with his style, because to want the keys, he's the kind of person that controls the keys. And here it is, you saying, look at, so that was kind of an uphill battle. And then going into the administration, you observed, as you said, the chaos that was going on. I mean, the chaos so much so that James Comey took advantage of it, and that's how he was able to kind of snag Mike Flynn, right?
Well, look, I thought that all of this could be overcome. I thought that during the transition, you know, they threw out all the work that Chris Christie had done in the pre-transition phase, started over again. I didn't think they got off to a great start in the beginning months of the administration, but I thought it could be corrected. And John Kelly and others said, you're kidding yourself if you think it can be corrected. Ultimately, that turned out to be true. But nonetheless, I think that it's important for people to think about what the implications are in a second term, because the one consistent theme, and there is a consistent theme, is Donald Trump getting reelected. And once that necessity is taken away, once he is reelected, if he wins the election, I think conservatives in particular should ask, so what comes next? If you don't have that guardrail, what do you have?
And I think that's why conservatives are saying, what's the vision for the second administration, right?
I think that's right. I think it's an important question. I'm not very happy about the choices that, I mean, I've been a lifelong conservative since I handed out leaflets for Barry Goldwater in 1964. Mm. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden for philosophical reasons. But there's no conservative Republican on the ballot.
Well, this has been, a difficult decision for you to release this book right before the election, knowing full well that this could have an impact on who gets elected, because the choice right now is between Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Yeah, look, a lot of people are from the Trump administration are releasing or have released books, Sarah Sanders, Sean Spicer, Matt Whitaker, in the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton and Secretary of Defense Bob Gates wrote books during the administration. It's very common. And, you know, if you can't talk about the character of a president during a presidential campaign, I'm not sure what the best time to do that ever is.
Exactly. How dangerous is China and North Korea?
They're very grave threats. Look, I think China is the existential threat of the 21st century to the United States. We need a coherent strategy, not the on-again, off-again approach that President Trump has taken. North Korea, in a way, is the more immediate threat because after playing with us for the last 2 years, they've continued to make progress on nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. This is the world's only hereditary communist dictatorship. Think about that if you want to think about how strange it is. Them having nuclear weapons is a threat to the United States.
Well, they seem to be a loose cannon, and now that Kim Jong-un seems to be more in the shadows and his sister stepping up, boy, there's a lot that we don't know, and anything could happen there quite quickly, right?
It's a very dangerous situation for us, for Japan, for South Korea, and I think we've wasted a lot of time over the past 2 years.
What about Russia?
Look, Russia's economy is very weak, especially with the price of oil the way it is, but it's got the largest nuclear weapons arsenal in the world. Vladimir Putin plays a weak hand very, very well, and they are a threat to us in a lot of different places around the world.
Do you believe the president should have been impeached?
If I had been in the Senate, I probably would have voted in favor of it, but I think the Democrats made a complete mess of it. I think they committed impeachment malpractice. They pushed Republicans away. They gave up the chance for any kind of bipartisanship. I'm not sure if I had testified it would have made any difference whatever.
How about the issue of leaks in this administration? I mean, he's had more leaks than I think maybe all the presidents in the modern era. What is going on with leaks in this administration?
You know, I don't know that you can compare it to other administrations and conclude it's worse. And I think the president does a lot of his own leaking. It was common gossip in the West Wing that he talked to a number of reporters and told them things that even those who would have wanted to leak against him in the administration didn't dare to say.
Well, John Bolton, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Congratulations on the book, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir from the former National Security Advisor of the United States of America. Thank you for being with us.
Only 1 in 4 Christians vote. No wonder our schools are failing. Our politicians are corrupt and our government is broken. But the America we love can be reclaimed with the votes of committed and informed Christians. Which candidates represent your values? Who can you trust to faithfully keep their promises? Find the answers at iVoterGuide.com. Cut through the spin and get the facts today at iVoterGuide.com.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that if you can't get out to get to a VA hospital or clinic, they can come to you? Yep, it's called telehealth. So here's your veteran's tip of the day. Contact your local VA center and ask them how you can enroll in telehealth and join the 25,000 veterans a day that are using telehealth services at the VA. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, veteran's tip of the day.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
This is Bill Martinez.
Back with you, America. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're joined with by Rick Steves. Yes, the popular PBS TV host, travel expert, best-selling author, got a new book to talk about, For the Love of Europe. And if you know anything about Rick Steves, you know he has a tremendous amount of affection for Europe. We'll talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about the latest news about traveling during COVID-19. Yes, you still can travel. And Rick's got some smart ways and safe ways in which we need to take notes on. Rick, always good to be talking to you. Good to have you back with us. How are you, sir?
Thanks, Bill. I'm doing great, considering everything.
Yeah, all things considered. I'll tell you, I was brightened, though. I got to tell you, my heart was lifted in looking at your new book, the pictures and everything. And, I'm a bit jealous, to be honest with you, because I've not explored Europe to the level that you have. And, boy, your affection for Europe is quite obvious.
Well, that's a lifetime of dedication to my love, which is... embracing the world and getting out there and getting out of my comfort zone and coming home with the best souvenir, which I think is a broader perspective.
Right.
And you're right. Right now, as we're sort of locked down and international travel is not an option, it really is a blessing to have so many experiences that you can look back on and just remember and learn from and be thankful for. And normally what I do is I write guidebooks, and that's collecting hotels and restaurants and sightseeing specifics. And this book is entirely different. You know, I've written 50 destination guidebooks, and I made a point to comb out anything we called guidebooky on this, and it's just my favorite places, people, and stories in 400 pages and 100 essays, and it was a delight to collect those.
Was this something that you had thought about for a long time about doing, you know, to do kind of a memoir type of format as opposed to a guidebook?
Yeah, well, my first book, Bill, was I published in 1980, and it was called Europe Through the Back Door, and it was like two halves. The first half was all the practical skills, mm-hmm. and the last half were essays on my favorite discoveries, those off-the-beaten-place, what I called backdoors. I kind of coined that phrase, and that's sort of the magic of Europe. And eventually, the book evolved over 40 editions, and we dropped the articles in the back, and it just became all the skills, how to travel. It's the manual for traveling through Europe through the back door. But I really wanted to highlight those original back doors and a lot more. And I've had a newspaper column every Sunday syndicated for the last 40 years, and I wanted to just pull out the real sort of dazzling, vivid, inspirational articles, and I set the bar at 100. And I had about 100 that really were at this quality. And, you know, I just spent 25 hours in a hot, sweaty little recording booth doing the audio version of the book. And when I got done with that pretty intensive week of recording, I was thinking, boy, that must have been a kind of a miserable experience. But no, I enjoyed every minute of reading about these. And when I summed the book up with the last sort of essay, you know, it occurred to me that what distinguishes a good trip is how many people do you meet? How often are you able to get out of your comfort zone? And, you know, how are you able to come home with that most beautiful souvenir, which I call a broader perspective?
Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert, Rick?
I've written about that, is whether you're an extrovert or an introvert or an extrovert, you've got to be an extrovert when you're traveling. You know, nobody knows you. You can be a little goofy. Remember, they're just as curious about you as you are of them. And it behooves us to break the ice and get to know people. And one thing Americans are really good at is breaking the ice and being casual and informal. You know, we're famously slap on the back, smiley face, you know, first name basis. And that can be annoying, but it can also be a real bonus or a blessing for travelers. So, you know, when you go to a pub, you need to know that it's a public house. That's what pub is short for, public house. It's for people that don't have a living room, and they go there to the neighborhood living room. And that's where they meet their friends. And it's like Cheers, you know. Hey, Norm. That's what it is. In Ireland, they say, you know, strangers are just friends who've yet to meet. And when you go to a pub, you know, everybody knows if you sit at the table, you're just involved in your own conversation. But if you sit at the bar, you're there because you want to connect. And you'll have friends just right away. And when I look back on these essays in For the Love of Europe, I mean, the things that pop out are the people you met. I mean, I was in Belgium and I shook hands with a man who is the carillonist, the guy who plays the carillon in the church bell tower. Oh. It's a keyboard set up to all the bells. Mm-hmm. And he had a deformed hand. His little finger was twice as thick as it should be because he had such a huge callus after a lifetime of hammering away on those wooden keyboards. And a carillonist clenched his fist and hits the keys kind of like the feet of an organist on the pedals, you know. And over time, he gets that callus, and he's proud of that, and he wanted me to shake his hand, and he invited me to the concert that night. And when the concert was done, I was in the courtyard, and he poked his head out of the little window halfway up the bell tower, and he waved his funny hand at me. And it's just a beautiful moment, I can think about those kind of connections in every country in Europe, and that's what's in this 400-page collection of my highlights of a lifetime of loving Europe.
Exactly. Well, I can attest in Ireland, the last time I was there, Rick, you'd appreciate this. I wasn't at the bar. I was just kind of standing up watching a little bit of soccer. And his family was sitting in this big table. And next thing I know, I get pulled into this table. And I'm part of the family. They're buying me drinks. They wouldn't let me buy them a drink. But it was just so sweet, you know, to your point, the way they are.
And Bill, you were accessible. You weren't back in the hotel watching TV. You were out there connecting with the people. Yeah. I was in Dublin recently with my family, and you know, everybody's going to the museums, and we noticed all the locals were going to the stadium. So we followed the locals, went to the stadium, and went to a hurling match. That's sort of like airborne hockey with no injury timeout.
Exactly.
And, man, what an experience. And there was 50,000 people in that stadium, and I think we were the only tourists. And people took us in. They taught us a lot of new ways to swear. And we learned that we got to wear the right scarf or you're going to get in a little bit of trouble.
Exactly.
And it was just a great experience. But you wouldn't have had that had you not ventured out and had you not met people.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, this is a, but now in this era of COVID-19, as you say, Americans are, you know, we're backslappers, we reach out, and now we're trying to, I guess everything's being redefined for us right now, so we have to be a little bit careful, right, Rick?
Well, you know, it's, I think we've got to just take a breath and be patient. We're not, patience is not one of our fortes, you know, and I look at 2020 as the 1940 of our lifetime. Imagine if you were young with all sorts of plans and aspirations in 1940 and suddenly everything's put on hold for 5 years as the world's in a big war. Well, we've got a fight against a virus right now. It's nothing like World War II, I don't think. But it is going to derail some of our dreams. And we just got to realize that it's not going to go forever. It may be a year. It may be 2 years. Who knows? It may be 8 months. But it's going to take a while. And if ever haste makes waste, I think right now, haste is making waste. My fear, and I expressed it months ago, was that other developed countries would get their act together and get a grip on this virus and be traveling between each other again, and the United States, because of our impatience, would be the country that was still lagging behind. And right now, Europe is opening up. My friends in Europe are traveling between their countries, but Americans are not allowed in because we're considered dangerous because we have a higher rate of the virus. Mm-hmm. And we're at square one right now. And we got to get moving along this little board game here and get over it. And
exactly.
We can do it, but it's going to take a little more discipline and embrace science and so on. But I know we're going to be traveling again. I'm not interested in social distancing when it comes to travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be patient. My style of travel, the, you know, Rick Steves Europe through the back door kind of travel.
Exactly.
Kisses on the cheek and sharing a Guinness in a bar and doing the passeggiata and the piazzas of Italy. It's very people-oriented, and that's going to come back.
Exactly.
And maybe with masks for a while. But I don't want to travel halfway around the world and eat in a hygienic bubble. You know, when I go to a beer hall in Germany, I'm sliding on that bench with locals, and
exactly.
That's why we do it. I mean, can you imagine social distancing at Oktoberfest or the
Oh, no. No, that just seems so incongruous, Rick, I got to tell you. Rick, you know, as you look back over your decades of reporting and doing this, I mean, as you started out, you probably thought, okay, maybe I can get some interest on this. Are you just amazed at how many people are, you know, first of all, they know who you are, and then they're so grateful for what you've shared with them because the vacations that you you've given them, in a sense, in opening themselves up and letting them reach outside of their normal selves, they've really experienced vacations like otherwise without you, they wouldn't have.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I like to think that's the truth, and you know, I work very hard with 100 people here in my office in Seattle, and to put it in a nutshell, our mission is to inspire and equip Americans to venture beyond Orlando. we really need to recognize that we're 4% of this planet, and it's really not only enjoyable, but it's important that we get out and get to know the other 96% of humanity. And, you know, the world is filled with love. It's filled with beautiful people and joy. And if all you did was watch the news, you'd think the world was going to hell in a handbag. But I've spent a third of my adult life living out of a carry-on-the-airplane-sized suitcase overseas, hanging out with people who really, for them, the world doesn't revolve around the United States of America.
Imagine that.
We're good 4%, but we're not exceptional, except in our ability to think that we might be exceptional in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this book, you note the best trips that you've taken, which are, you know, just fantastic. And like you, Rick, I can't wait to get on the other side of this because I'm confident this too shall pass. We've been through some tough times before, as you mentioned, in the 40s. I wasn't there. I had to wait 10 more years, but we've definitely had peaks and valleys through our life's experience.
Yeah.
But definitely looking forward, and your book is an excellent pacifier. I want you to know this new book.
But you know, the book has been selling really well right out of the gate, and I think it has been a timely book because people want to have vicarious travels. And this is 100 essays, and we're serializing it on my Facebook page, and it's sort of a daily dose of Europe. And it's a delight for people who have travel in their blood.
Well, Rick, the book available at all the usual places, right?
Yep, it sure is. And I also at Rick Steves on Facebook, we're running a chapter of it every day, so people can check that out.
Rick Steves, for the love of Europe, thank you, Rick. Appreciate the time. Take care.
All right, Bill, and happy travels, even if you're just staying home for a while.
We all need to do our part.
And show that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. And here's more good reasons. Get 100 disposable face masks for only $36.99. Or 50 disposable masks, only $18.99 from sunny-bay.com. The best value of level 1 disposable face masks or high-quality N95 face masks anywhere. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection and see your selections at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS